Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. I'm here with Rose Marcus today as we discuss the transits for the next month, looking into October. And we are here the end of the month, every month, to help shine a light of insight for you. If you're a new listener, we want you to know you can learn more about evolutionary astrology on our website, schoolofevolutionaryastrology.com. And within the website, we also have a message board, which is a learning forum. You can post questions in evolutionary astrology or participate in threads as they surface. If you're interested in becoming a more serious student, we do also have a correspondence course, which involves 27 DVDs split into three segments of the original teachings by Jeff Green, who is the founder of EA. From the original course back in the 90s, highly recommend this if you're considering getting into evolutionary astrology for studying and learning more about the roots of this work. So check it out if you haven't, and I would like to welcome Rose back to Guiding Stars. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
What do you have going on? Anything you'd like to share?
Well, you know, I've taken the past couple months offering my monthly column because I needed a little bit of a break. But for those who are on my regular mail list, I'm back at it for the month of October. And if you're not on my mailing list already and you want to be, then you can go to my website and sign up. So back at it. I can't leave people hanging too long.
I'm sure you got a lot of screamers.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking because we, you know, we had a little conversation before we went on air and with JR producer, and I was thinking, you know how they do that in class where, you know, they get everybody to stand up and shake it out?
Oh, my gosh, to get all their, like, nervous energy out, right? All
yeah.
The kids that are just wired.
Yeah, wake up a little bit, too, you know, it's like, let's pump up a little bit here, get some fresh air going into the brain, you know. I think we're here at the end of September and looking forward to October stars, but we are on our way. This show will air on the 27th of September, and the 28th of September is a new moon, and the energy before a new moon is always draining out. And there have been a few other things that have added to that kind of grind this this week in particular. We've recently had Saturn end its retrograde, and just this past week, yesterday, we're recording a day early here, Venus and Saturn in square, and so forth. So we've just finished with the Saturn retrograde, and the start of October, we have the end of Pluto retrograde, both planets in the sign of Capricorn, and both having turned retrograde within a couple of weeks of each other back there in April. So that's all that kind of traveling with the brakes on or feeling like you got rocks on your shoulders or, you know, just feeling, I don't know about you, Kristen, but oh my God, I go to bed early and get up late and I'm still exhausted.
Oh gosh, well, I just have heard so many people really feeling this Saturn stationing direct, you know, in Capricorn coming to a stop. And then right now we've got Saturn with the transiting south node coming over Saturn and Capricorn, and this is really sort of a chapter-ending energy, but it can create a high degree of exhaustion and gravity, and you just feels like you're just lugging a load around. So, you know, that'll shift. I mean, you mentioned as we approach a new moon as well, and it can feel very much like a full moon effect. Right prior to a birthday, it can feel that way, where there's this, it can even create a kind of an energy of depression or just this emotional kind of balloon of energy. And then once we hit the, you know, on the day of the new moon, obviously Saturn is still conjunct that south node in Capricorn. The new moon will be squaring that point. And so it is, it does feel like a transition. It does feel like an evolutionary transition, some sort of key timing for something in your life. I've heard a lot of clients telling me, I've got to make some very big decisions, very serious decisions. And so, you know, that's what people are feeling, that time is of the essence, you know. It's time now to do this or that, to commit this way or that way. And it is certainly also a time when we'll be tested, you know. What is that relationship worth? What is that passion of yours worth? What is the career that you want worth? And so, and it is all about balance, being that we've got a lot of energy in the sign of Libra. You know, how can we maintain a better balance in our lives so we are living in more in harmony with ourselves and with the world around us? So there's a lot going on. And not to mention, by the way, gosh, the day I sent out my newsletter, entitled It Sweet Justice, you know, all these impeachment things are going on. So things can catch up to you under a Saturn transit, as they are now doing, at least in our country. I think politically things are finally catching up to itself.
Oh,
events.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, that Saturn on the south node, we already have, again, the south node's traveling through Capricorn. That's an 18-month cycle. We are working our way towards the big Saturn-Pluto conjunction next year. Both Saturn and Capricorn, Saturn's in Capricorn, Pluto's in Capricorn. It's all about endings, you know, and we've been dealing with that. But the Saturn south node makes that more intensified right now. It's kind of a chapter within a chapter within a chapter, right? You know, it's that kind of storyline, something significant or in particular ending. You know, that Saturn south node relationship, Saturn was already in what we would say a new phase to that south node. The south node is, again, you know, bringing the past up in order to reconcile with it, in order to bring it to some kind of end point. And so we've already had that Saturn moving into some new territory with the completion program that it's on. Yet back there in about June, July, it reversed with the south node. And that's exactly it. Over this next week or so, Saturn and that south node complete this chapter that's been a couple of months in the works. And that's been since, of course, the eclipses have happened, and we've had another Mercury retrograde back there in the summer. So you may see that in terms of these chapter finishes, but they're all kind of interrelated and interconnected. One thing comes to a culminating point, and that sets up the next thing that we can take care of, kind of like a domino effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is, we're all going through it. Somebody had written me and said that they felt like they were moving through molasses.
Oh, my gosh, that's literally the words that I used in my forecast last week. That's funny. It's true. It's a classic expression for, I like the swimming with your clothes on kind of analogy as well.
Oh, yeah.
If you've been thrown into a swimming pool with your clothes on, and I've shared this before, having older brothers, you know, that was kind of a regular thing. Oh, well. But anyway, it's pretty hard to get out of the pool when, you know, you're feeling weighed down by emotion, right? That's the water, just the energy around you with you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you know, absolutely. So, you know, it's been a real slog. And as
it's slog.
Slog.
Well, I haven't heard that word in a long time. oh, wow.
And, you know, so if you are feeling spent, you know, this end of the month here, that's fine. You know, give yourself a little bit more time to get yourself up and at 'em. As we go into the start of October, on October 2nd, Pluto ends retrograde, and that'll be, just before midnight, so it'll be October 3rd for various time zones. And just the next day, we have Mercury moving out of Libra and into Scorpio in, well, it's just like about 2 hours after Pluto's stations direct. And then, you know, later on in the evening on the 3rd, we have Mars moving into Libra. And Pluto and Mars on the move, Pluto turning direction and Mars moving into a new sign, really in close proximity. Well, you know, they're a planetary pair. Pluto representing, you know, the big picture soul piece of it, and Mars, you know, the cutting edge of the will, of the desire nature, right? You know, so both of those, along with Mercury on the move as well, too. You know, we're just around the corner from having more, you know, fuel in the tank or more, you know, energy in the rocket ship.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we've got, let's go back to this new moon, because by the time people are listening to this, that will probably be the next day or two. How do you, I mean, of course, it's in Libra, so we're...
Yeah, and let me also say that the new moon is a supermoon. We have a batch of them every year, you know, during the course of the year, and some are stronger than others, but it is a super new moon. And the super new moon is accompanied by Venus and Jupiter in a sextile, which is, you know, quite a lovely aspect. So Libra, again, you know, is the archetype of the scales and about, you know, reconciling. Again, it is all about the social values, and it is all about evaluating in some kind of new way. So I like this. I like this new moon. Of course, you know, the social politics piece of things is really prevalent right now with the activity. We see all the political things going on, social political things going on. The recent you know, impeachment process for Trump. We've just had in England Boris Johnson, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that that he acted illegally in terms of proroguing the government, so they're back in track. And this week in Canada as well, too, this past week, this is the Jupiter-Neptune, sorry, I wanted to go back there for just a minute. On the 21st of September, we had the final Jupiter-Neptune square, which has been in operation all year. And this Jupiter-Neptune was the, again, exposing piece that was the Ukraine phone call with Trump and, you know, that exposing and getting the domino going with the impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Jupiter-Neptune, I just wrote this in my column, is like a literal... a literal interpretation of that would be duping the queen, you know, duping the ruler. And that's what they're saying, that he kind of falsified, Boris Johnson falsified his intention for, you know, for shutting out Parliament while the Brexit timeline clock is ticking. And additionally, that in Canada, there were three photos that surfaced in terms of Trudeau being in blackface, right? You know, and these are like really old photos, you know, him in costume and blah, blah. So all three of these things were kind of triggered by that Jupiter-Neptune square that just happened, right? You know, and this new moon in Libra here, you know, again, that's the... you know, exposure to Libra is the archetype, you know, with Sun in Libra as well, to exposure to diversity, right? You know, and all that diversity is meant for us to observe ourselves in action. And as we observe ourselves in action, then we get to be able to take in that information, and then it stimulates the evaluation process, right? You know, Venus and Jupiter in sextile here, that brings us more information. You know, it opens something up. It, Jupiter and Venus put something on the increase, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
So as it does that, it gives us an opportunity to feel our way along Venus and to interpret Jupiter. to tap into, our own beliefs around, everything that we are observing, signals from our intuition, this is expanding the frame of reference, right? So that we can then evaluate for ourselves what is it that that has that meaning, and how are we going to apply that? Following on Monday we have Venus and Pluto in square on the 30th of September, launching into the month of October.
Well, that definitely is. When you think about Pluto square Venus, it is about eliminating the things that don't serve you. It's a very confrontational energy in relationships. If things have been swept under the rug, so they're going to be kind of coming out to the surface to deal with them. It is a period of time where some significant turns or shifts are required. That your evolution is calling in something in particular, and it may feel a bit Plutonian, metamorphic in nature, ultimately, hopefully, in an empowering way. Especially if you're in a relationship and you don't feel like things are balanced or you're getting your needs met, you need to voice such things, So, obviously, Venus moves pretty quickly, but it always will, a Pluto-Venus square will present moments for that to happen.
Absolutely, and so we're into the month of Libra, and we're coming up to, might be jumping a little bit ahead here, but we're also coming up to a full moon on the 13th in Aries, which is an Aries Libra polarity.
What degree is that?
The full moon is 20 degrees Aries.
So then it's going to be squaring Pluto.
It's squaring Pluto, absolutely.
And Saturn.
It's squaring Pluto. Also, by the way, the Sun is also sextile Jupiter on that day, and we've got a really nice Mercury-Saturn sextile as well, too. But I was thinking about this as I was preparing for today's talk, right? And as I just mentioned, all the kind of big stories of the day that are going on out there. And I just wanted to talk about that Trudeau episode with the black face things coming up. It's quite interesting because the Libra archetype and Aries Libra polarity with that Pluto square coming in on the full moon. We've got this new moon in Libra tomorrow. We've got the Libra archetype. And the full moon squaring Pluto, brings up this idea the moon is squaring Pluto, the sun is squaring Pluto from two different angles. And I was thinking about this idea of tolerance and intolerance, the evaluation process that goes on with the Libra. That whole situation with the blackface, which has showed up, in various news stories, these kinds of things happen. Or even like last Christmas, there was this, story, this kind of outrage over this song from the 50s, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Uh-huh.
You remember? And, they were talking about how sexist that was and how they shouldn't play it. And I forgot who sang it. Was it Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin or something? Maybe Dean Martin, right? And, how innocent that was, right?
Right.
Really, like he was trying to corner this, this chick.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that kind of stuff. And thinking about this, these blackface photos, resurfacing of Trudeau, who did this while he was, one of them's from the 90s and the other one's from the, 2000 and whatever, beginning of, 2001 or something like that, it was a long time ago. And how different the kind of ideologies were around that.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're bringing that up right now. So in terms of political landscapes, it's all the Libra and Canada is going to an election on October 21st. All those things were dragged out as kind of dirty politics. It's like, oh, how outrageous. Look at this, And we get this whole, whiplash going on, and that's kind of the Aries piece of that. And the distortions that come through Capricorn as well, too, judgment. Look at how awful they are, because they're doing this. Everybody's throwing stones at glass, from glass houses or whatever that expression is.
Yeah, throwing stones at glass houses, right.
Yeah, but it's kind of like how you know, how the news really played that up, and it's like, oh, terrible, and oh, you know, like, how dare he, and all that. And then all of a sudden, that whole thing switched to, well, look at, we're opening up a conversation. You know, and that switched that whole thing from that kind of volatility, that outrage, that, you know, that hyper, you know, element there of intolerance into, well, you know, maybe that's serving. This is like today there's a Chiron Sun opposition. Chiron is the healing crises archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And the new moon is opposite Chiron, and Chiron is showing up in some of the transits right now as well, too, you know. Again, you know, these things serve as teaching tools for we are observing ourselves in action, and we can take that kind of outrage piece of it and say, oh, you know, this is horrible, horrible stuff. Or we can put it into perspective. You know, we can put it into perspective. I was just reading an article today about that whole thing, and it's father-daughter. You know, she's a millennial. He's in his 70s, and he's a Punjabi, came, you know, immigrant. And when he was first here, he was swarmed, and the police had to come, and so on. And so she was talking to her father, and he's kind of going, nah, you know, I don't have any reaction to this, where she's going, oh, outrage, I'm not voting for the guy. You know, it's like all, that's Libra's diversity, you know, diversity of opinions and so forth, right? And this is a whole set up for us. We are learning from each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of it. I think we get very distracted. You know, Mars is still in Virgo right now. We're very distracted by the ifs instead of what that represents and where it can take us if we, you know, move into an analysis and a process and so forth. You know, we're coming into Mercury moving into Scorpio and Venus moving into Scorpio. And maybe it's not so much about the targets, but the process that it launches and where that process takes us. And so forth. I heard that break signal. So, yeah.
All right. More to say and to share after the break. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KristinFontana.com.
Okay, okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Oh, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all. At a price you can afford, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave them helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we've returned. We're discussing transits in October. Little new moon, little full moon. Actually, the new moon September 28th, but full moon very active on the 13th of October. This is interesting, too, because when you think about the energy of Libra, it's all about peacemaking, right? Not a lot of peace in October, from what I can tell. A lot of, and I say, you know, it's like going to battle for what you believe in. You know, it's about fighting for what's fair. When I think about the full moon in Aries there. But, you know, there is a lot of energy in Libra. We've got Mars in Libra. But what happens when you put Mars, it's currently in Virgo as we're talking here, but when you put Mars in the sign of Libra, then the Libra energy in your life wants to fight for what's fair, right? Wants to fight for justice, just like this impeachment proceeding. There's countless things that could have been caused for an impeachment inquiry, and now it's finally happening. It's like, all right, you know, it's just everything's becoming inflamed and along those lines. And personally in your life, that may be true, too. It's just like your desire for fairness and balance and justice could be greater than it's been, because everything feels like it's coming to a head, especially with so much Capricorn energy, right? You know?
You know, absolutely. And that's that coming to the end of your tolerance level, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a word I was just on the tip of my tongue. You stole it off the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mars in Libra, as they say, that's in its detriment. You know, Mars doesn't do well in Libra because, of course, that's peace and harmony. And with Mars in Libra, that's you know, that's revving that up. You know, it's suggesting that there's some strife to do with peace and harmony. in order to get it, just as you said, it has to activate it in some way. You know, you have to activate it. You know, what's going to bring you a better equilibrium is sitting here where you are right now. You know, facing a wall or being stuck where you are, is that is that the equilibrium, or is that acceptable to you? You know, acceptability. You know, that's a good Libra word. And here's the thing, you know, Mars moves into Libra on the 3rd, and Venus moves into Scorpio on the 8th, and that's mutual reception.
Uh-huh.
Right, you know, so we have mutual reception when planets are in each other's signs. Then they are, they have an enriched catalog, right? You know, then they're able to draw from both catalogs. They can swap their toolkit anytime they like, you know. So as Venus kicks into Scorpio, that's going to make that Mars in Libra, more potent or, you know, more juicy in terms of the seeking of balance, right? The seeking of equality, or, you know, finding your inner equilibrium. You know, that's going to suggest, and with the Scorpio piece of it, you know, making a deeper commitment to getting yourself to that even keel, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So.
Right. There's a, you know, the way I feel about all this energy is like there's a time for everything, right? And so sometimes, like you said, the level of tolerance, it just feels like Capricorn energy to me. Like you've been shouldering something for so long. And there's times when you can hang out with it and tolerate it. And there's times when you've just reached the roof of what you can. It's just kind of maybe something's run its course, or you're tired of something being a certain way, and boom. So when you talk about Mars being, you're talking about Venus in Scorpio. What was the mutual reception?
Mars and Libra.
Mars and Libra.
Mars and Venus are in each other's signs. Mars and Libra.
Uh-huh.
Venus and Scorpio.
But Venus, Scorpio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm having a brain. That's the younger brother.
I'm having a bit of a brain freeze here. Scorpio, Mars is aligned with Scorpio.
Pluto.
It is
younger brother of Pluto.
Yeah, the younger brother. So it is a de facto mutual reception.
Okay.
Okay.
I was like, whoa, I was trying to follow that, and then now I get it.
Yeah, sorry.
So,
sorry.
It's important to remember that. I kind of love how you connected that, because Mars is the ego, which takes what's unconscious inside the soul and makes things happen in the world, right? It's our instinct. It's our choice-making planet. It was the thing that gets us out of bed every day. So that Mars component, energetically and natally in your chart, it's going to grab a hold of what's inside you, right, and what you need for your evolution, the choices that you must make in order to facilitate your evolution, and what you will be magnetizing and attracting to you in order for that to occur. And so I definitely feel like it will, you know, really activate a great deal of what it is that your soul needs at that point, being like that Venus and Scorpio in particular. And of course, Mars will follow that and enter Scorpio probably not until November, right? Middle of November, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's November 20th, I think, you know. But
mm-hmm.
So those two are really targeting, you know, to get right down to the core of what it is, the essence of whatever it is that you're dealing with, so that you can sort yourself out and recommit to your betterment, to improving the way that you are connecting to the world around you, and connecting to the desires and urges of your soul, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And the week, you know, just following the first and the second, when we have all that planetary switch, you know, by the fifth, we're into first quarter moon, which is taking us all the way to the 13th, the full moon. And we have the week of October 6th to the 12th. The 6th starts with Mercury and Uranus in opposition. And the 12th, we have Venus and Uranus in opposition setting up for the full moon, right? You know, so I think that as we get into October, we're not going to be wasting much time. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The ability to have a breakthrough or to cut to the chase, to break some of those chains that have been holding you back, you know, it's all of that is all set up for us. And, you know, here's the point with the Libra piece of it and the full moon as well, too. You know, Aries, full moon in Aries can, you know, Aries is a reactive archetype, right? You know, so Libra is a refinement archetype. So it's good when you get energized, and it's good when you get emotional and when you get charged up about things. But we want to kind of refine, you know, the raw emotions so that you are operating in a way that is going to be well-paced, if I can put it that way, in terms of you moving forward, you know. Sometimes getting angry is the only way that you're going to get it out, right? You know, say your piece, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the energies are allowing for some breakthroughs. Firstly, it's a breakthrough in consciousness. Secondarily, it's a breakthrough in action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, I think with Libra, there can be the fence-sitting kind of vibe going on. As soon as the shift from Venus goes into Scorpio, you know, it changes things. Of course, the full moon in Aries is definitely going to get you out of your seat and get things going. So I just thought of something. That full moon on the 13th in Aries is squaring Trump's Saturn, Venus, and asteroid Lucifer, actually.
Oh, well, you know, his chart is just being
the train wreck.
Yeah, it's most definitely, and I think it's picking up both the full moon and the new moon energy, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that whole Saturn South Node event that had been, you know, doing that final phase from June, July, you know, we've been topping up the information, right? You know, there's been one more puzzle piece, one more puzzle piece, and here we are at go with that Saturn South Node. So, yeah.
Buck stops here.
Yeah, buck stops here, and consequences are on the table.
All right, well, we're going to move to a break. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, for it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question. Why am I here? Thanks for listening, and God bless."
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we are back looking at transits for October. So, where were we when we...
Oh, gosh, I think we were talking about that that full moon on the 13th. And, you know, it is it does have a couple of good aspects aligned with it, sextile to Jupiter and Mercury and Saturn in sextile as well, too. It is for Canada, it's Thanksgiving Day weekend, so it is a good weekend to take a break and, you know, decompress and get away from it all. You know, it's a good weekend for that. But Mercury-Saturn has a suggestion of, you know, productivity, you know, constructive, I meant to say, in terms of conversations that you might have, right? You know, so, you know, there's good opportunity with that full moon as well, too. And on the 15th, there's Mercury-Neptune trine, and it looks like the week that follows that full moon seems to be fairly smooth running. So I would think that if, you know, splat happens, you know, shit hits the fan, pardon the expression, you know, that there's some smooth resolution after the fact. What do you think?
I like that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I like the sound of smooth resolution.
Yeah.
Mercury trining Neptune, that sounds about right.
Well, and, you know, it is that fence sitting of Libra as well, too. You know, the worst, the most difficult thing you can do is sit on the fence, you know. Once you take an action, whether it works for you or it doesn't, it creates some movement, some motion, right? You know, and it is a relief, you know, to at least know, okay, well, I'm here, and now I know better what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So better not to prolong the the sitting on the fence, you know, an action taking. But the suggestion is with Capricorn, it's all about timing of things. And it may be that timing. It's a push come to shove, full moon. But once you get it out, it's like, oh,
what a relief.
Right?
Yeah, right. And also, you know, I think about Mercury and Neptune is, it can create this higher understanding of something, like being able to see something from a higher perspective after the fact and heal it or rise above it. So, yeah, that Mercury and then Venus actually follows that Mercury progressively to trine that Neptune. So you can understand it mentally, and then by the time Venus reaches that trine to Neptune, which is you probably have the date, I don't know, later in
21st.
October.
Yeah, 21st. Yeah.
Then you can kind of feel it in your body, in your bones, versus just thinking about it. Or maybe you're having conversations on the heels of that full moon with people and then, you know, really feeling the effects of that conversation by the 21st. You know, I was able to express what I needed here. I was able to ask for that raise, you know, or what have you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Libra works best in terms of observation and correlation, as we say. You know, you're observing all of that out there, interfacing with the world, and then you come back and have a pause. And I always say that, you know, a little time out. Then you get the downloads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the process begins, you know, when you're always active and you're always doing and you're always involved, it doesn't allow for the psyche to decompress and think a little bit, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
Give yourself some thinking space. You know, the 21st is an important date because here in Canada, that's our election, and in Britain, there's something with Brexit that if they don't, you know, kind of get it solved before then, that's the day that they have to go beg from the EU again.
Uh-huh.
So that's interesting on that Venus-Jupiter trine. Be very interesting. It's the last quarter moon day.
Mm. Wow. Interesting timing.
Interesting timing, yeah, that all these kind of big things are taking place in the month of Libra, which is supposed to be, you know, kind of soft. we're not soft around the edges this month at all, are we?
No, it's not soft at all. I was thinking the same thing when you were talking. I mean, fall, I realize in the southern hemisphere, you're not experiencing fall, experiencing spring, but here in the northern hemisphere, fall is my favorite time of the year, And typically Libra does feel softer, or October does feel softer, but yeah, there's an edge to it for sure. I mean, we're just going through so much collectively, politically, you know, and we're in the middle of some kind of serious shoot here, you know, and obviously Pluto is coming over its own south node. You know, it's right there. It's our south node of Pluto is currently about 19 degrees of Capricorn. Pluto's slowing down to station at 20 on the 3rd of October. Did we talk about that?
Not yet.
Oh, we need to do that. And the south node of Saturn is currently 18 Capricorn. So transiting Saturn is about to come over that. I mean, talk about, like, karmic, just a karmic signature for things catching up with itself. I mean, that's happened between now and, you know, January 2020. It's just a chapter closing and a new one initiating. But Capricorn does have to do with, you know, we can be rewarded for our efforts or punished for our wrongdoing, karmically speaking.
Well,
so,
it's never been a more important time to get real.
No, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And not to deny the reality that you are facing, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is. You know, Capricorn You know, it's a good archetype when you are real. You know, I'm an Aries. You know, I have Mars in Capricorn. I've always appreciated Capricorn. Like, just call the spade a spade. You know, tell mm-hmm. me where I'm at. You know, and then you know, if I know that, then I can work it back from there. But if I'm in guesswork, you know, or I'm uncertain or I'm not committed, you know, that's where the most pain is for me. You know, and I just think.
Well,
here, if we know that, you know, there's a certain, you know, if there's a limitation, if there's a wall, you know, or, you know, with a Capricorn piece, really the most honest that you can be with yourself right now is to take a look at your life or what's going on inside of you and ask, what is it that I need to wrap up here? You know, mm-hmm. what is it that needs to end? Because the transits are the Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter will be there next year, this big stellium in Capricorn. That is bringing us to the end of a very long chapter. And how is it that you can get on board with facilitating that ending? You may not have any control over it, maybe out of your control, but mm-hmm. you could agree with it, right? You know, mm-hmm. you could accept it. And if you accept that, that will be some kind of action taking that is going to open a door someplace. You know, maybe you don't see it right now. But if you just accept that this is coming to an end, the way I feel or the way I'm operating or the way I'm stressing even, or even, you know, something is going to come to an end and I don't know how the door is going to open. But I'm going to trust that it will, and in that case, you know, something else will come in that's going to bridge us over to the other side. Capricorn is the archetype; it's a duality archetype, right? You know, what we're focused in on is the externals, you know, and what is on the external level is completing. It's old. It's, you know, coming to its time. And at the same time, something on the inside is budding. Something on the inside is now, you know, the spark of new life. And so it is whatever, you know, you've already built, try not to build any more of that. I mean, use it as a foundation. Strong enough, you know, use it as a foundation to build upward, you know. But if it is a complete, you know, dud, you know, if it's lifeless, then try to disengage from that even though you don't know, but give space for something new to energize, you know. That's a piece of it, right? Duality archetype.
Definitely. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'll share some insights on Pluto stationing direct on the 3rd of October in Capricorn. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KristenFontana.com.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding genes that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Genes has done extensive research, and they have genes that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder, so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you, too. Click through to Lee's Genes on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Take one step towards spirit. Spirit will take 1,000 steps toward you. Come explore the world of evolutionary astrology with Rose Marcus. Rose Marcus is well known for her heartfelt passion, sensitive counseling skills, and dedication to helping others.
You can now study evolutionary astrology from the comfort of your own home through live teleconference classes with Rose. To register for the next Evolutionary Astrology School, to read your in-depth monthly horoscope, or to book a private astrology with Rose Marcus, please visit her website, www.rosemarcus.com.
Oh, man, it never fails. My suitcase just got ripped apart.
Life is a journey. Make it a pleasant one. Use Samsonite. You know the name. For almost a century, Samsonite Luggage has proved itself to be the worldwide leader in innovative travel solutions. Let it be yours. Visit HealthyLife.net's affiliate Samsonite on our homepage and click to look at the fine luggage from suitcases to golf travel bags. And don't forget, take a look at their travel accessories. Make life a journey. A pleasant one. With Samsonite.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we're winding down the hour. We're going to share our last little chapter of October with you, but before we move into the tail end of the month, I'm talking about Pluto's been retrograde for over 4.5 months, so much about the soul. Reflecting back on its journey, I don't know about you, Rose, but man, especially with the Saturn in Capricorn and now coming over the South Node, I've been reviewing my past like there's no tomorrow. It just really with a fine tooth comb, and not even intentionally, really. It's just surfacing, all of it. But the cool thing is, I think more than any time in my entire life, thinking about the Pluto slowing down to station direct 20 degrees of Capricorn, I'm really getting to the bottom of why certain things occurred in a way that I never have. So if you need to know why, if you really want to get to the bottom of why, you really can right now with this Saturn slowing down to a stop. I mean, allow yourself to go there. Allow yourself to look at it so you can understand it, so you don't recreate it, or so you don't feel so emotionally bound by something. When you can see it for what it is and understand why it happened, it creates a certain sort of distance. It allows you to change your orientation to it so you can move on. So on October 3rd, Pluto will station direct at 20 degrees of Capricorn, and your soul can now move forward in ways that it wasn't able to because of its recent retrograde tour. And it is about, really, I used this term with a client earlier today, you know, getting bigger britches, really, you know, kind of pulling yourself up by those bootstraps and, you know, being able to fill those britches and those shoes, those soul shoes, in a way that you haven't before. Because you're growing up, you're growing into yourself, you're maturing. And so that's what this transition also reflects. I know for myself that, you know, by coming through some big turns, evolutionary turns, and I think to myself, you know, gosh, if even whatever it is that I might be calling in my life today, I will think to myself, wow, I really couldn't have handled this 20 years ago. Ever do that, Rose?
Like, exactly.
You know, yeah. Just this thing might have just brought me to my knees, but I'm going to be okay, you know, like, whatever it is. And I've also noticed, too, that the stories that I'm hearing from clients, I mean, they are getting more intense. They are harder to hold. And I know that I couldn't have been able to be a voice of insider support for that person maybe 20 years ago, because I just really wouldn't have been able to even know what to do with that story. So as you evolve as an astrologer, if you're an astrologer and you're listening, or you're working with clients and you want to become an astrologer, we attract where we're at. And my mom used to say, God never gives you anything more than you can handle. And so I'm like, okay, Mom, you know, and it's true, because some of the stories that are coming in now, I wasn't hearing 20 years ago because I couldn't have been a voice of support for that soul. Energetically, this is what just naturally happens. So whatever it is that you are calling into your life right now, know that it is an evolving process, and even pay attention to the nature of the people you're attracting. if you're looking for a new partnership, for example. Is this an evolved version of where you've been? Hopefully it is. If it's not, keep, you know, move on and keep growing within so you can attract somebody that matches your essence versus somebody who's a repeat of your past. All right, I know there's a couple things we need to talk about for the end of October.
That's exactly it. And, you know, when a planet's at station, it is amplified. And a planet like Pluto, a slow-moving planet, you know, that's a few days either side. So that's solidifying and crystallizing, you know, and really giving you that that very, very solid core, along with Mercury moving into Scorpio and Venus going into Scorpio, helping you to solidify that choice-making, you know, so that, again, you're not sitting on the fence with things, right? You know, so if you watch yourself in action, you're going to find, it, as I always say, that you might be voting for yourself in a different way now, and good on you if you do. Yeah. So I know we've only got a few minutes left, but I wanted to mention the new moon on the 27th. That's the end of the month. Sun will already move into Scorpio, which it does on the 23rd, so we're already in the Scorpio month. And we have this new moon in Scorpio, 4 degrees, on the 27th. Mars and Saturn are square that day, so they're, you know, it's a bit of a frustration aspect, or a, you know, kind of bottle-up aspect. And that new moon is also opposing Uranus. So I have a feeling that that's going to be really kick-starting something, and maybe that new moon on the 27th might operate for you a little bit more like a full moon because of the opposition to Uranus. So it might kick-start something unexpected or crack you open.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I just realized that. It's an exact opposition.
Yeah, an exact opposition. So it could crack you open, or, you know, open up something. So just watch what's on brew before that. And the 31st. First, we have Mercury stationing retrograde in the sign of Scorpio, so I do think that that new moon is probably going to be a precursor to whatever the work is to be done during the Mercury retrograde coming up, and that's October 31st to, I think it's November, forgotten the 18th or the 20th, 20th of November. We're moving into Mercury in shadow about mid-October, so pay close attention this month so that you can maybe get a head start on whatever the issues are with Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, we will be back here on the 24th, 25th time frame to rediscuss a bit more about Mercury retrograde and the new moon that will be following that. We can give you a little bit more meat on that.
Yeah.
All right, any last thoughts before we send everybody off into their month of October?
Just that really the transits are setting up opportunity for October, so be honest, keep real, and keep going.
I like it. Be honest, stay real, and keep going. Yeah, let's go. All right, thank you so much, Rose, for joining me again this day in September. And look forward to discussing November with you and leading people forward into 2020, a very significant time, a historical crossroads in January of 2020. Astrologically speaking, with that stellium of Capricorn planets coming, well, can you imagine being a child born that month?
Absolutely. Wow.
That is a big one.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Until next time, namaste.